Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We saw a lot of really incredible catches and games from Antonio Brown this year. He's one reason why Ben Roethlisberger led the NFL in passing yards, 5,129 passing yards to be exact. And even without Brown playing in that final game of the season because he got benched, he was in the top 12 in receiving, just shy of 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns, which was the most for any receiver in the NFL. Let's welcome Howard Balzer from SiriusXM NFL Radio, as well as from the Sports Exchange, longtime league insider. And you hear Bill Hillgrove with one of those touchdowns for Antonio Brown. Those were much calmer times. After hearing what Mike Tomlin had to say about Brown on Wednesday, what do you think, Howard?
It's one of those things where with everyone chattering so much about it, you do wonder if in the offseason if they're going to be able to repair this with, you know, players coming out at least even anonymously and saying they're embarrassed by the way what Antonio Brown did last week in the lead up to the final game against the Bengals. You have a former teammate, Ryan Clark, putting his name on it and coming out and saying, well, this isn't new for the way Antonio Brown is. So I think the Steelers are in a tough position here because we know what a great player he is. But you also wonder if they would decide to trade him, what value can they get because of his contract and for what other teams know kind of what kind of guy they're bringing on board. So I think they're in a tough position. And with Tom, you know, I don't know what other way the Steelers going into an important game. I'm sure Mike Tomlin and they didn't want to make a big public spectacle of it and make it let everyone know that he wasn't there for this reason and that, and so they wanted to try to keep it in house, which I can understand why teams do. The problem these days is you can never keep anything totally in house, and you know that at some point it's going to be an issue. But I guess it's better to be an issue after your season's over than going into a very important game in terms of trying to get into the playoffs.
Most of what I've heard coming out of Pittsburgh is that Mike Tomlin is safe despite the disappointment of not making the playoffs and how the end of the season went. But we do have 8 head coach openings, Howard. In your opinion, what are one or two most attractive jobs that are open right now?
I really think, Amy, that the Browns job might be the most attractive. And it goes beyond just the fact that they have a young quarterback, obviously, to build around for a long time in Baker Mayfield. I think one of the most attractive things about the Browns is something that's not talked about is organizational structure and who is the guy. When you take one of these jobs, no matter who you are, you want to have a kind of confidence that who's ever in charge of personnel, if it's not yourself, is going to get you the players that will help you win. And I think John Dorsey is a big plus for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, let's not forget that in 2 years, he helped trade up and draft Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs, and then this year, Baker Mayfield for the Browns. And so I think that's a big factor. And I know that's always said that, well, there's only 32 of these jobs, and if you get a chance, you've got to jump at one. Well, we saw what happened with Steve Wilkes in Arizona, not given much of a roster, and he's blown out after 1 year. Vance Joseph in Denver almost fired after year one and now fired after year two when a Hall of Fame quarterback couldn't figure out who should be the quarterback of that franchise. And so I think that that's a big, big thing in turn. If at least it would be for me, if I'm looking to take a job as a head coach, I want to know I have a chance to be successful. Because the one thing you know, when you get that chance, if it doesn't work out, odds are you're not going to get another one. And so I want to know that I have a real chance of success in a league that's very hard, obviously, to have success. And so that's why I think the Browns are definitely the most attractive job there is.
Would you categorize the Broncos and Cardinals as unattractive jobs right now?
Well, I think, I don't know if totally unattractive, but I know the question I'd be asking is, hey, how much time do I have to turn this around? You know, if it doesn't turn around in 1 year or two, you're going to blow me out? You know, blow me out of the building? I mean, I would have to be thinking about that if I'm going to take a job with an organization that I'm assigned a four or five year contract and it doesn't mean anything. So I think that, you know, Arizona has a good young quarterback. Denver is a big question mark, obviously. The Jets have a good young quarterback. But again, you still want to feel that you're going to have a real chance to be successful there. And so I don't know if I use the word unattractive, but I don't think it's maybe as attractive as some people think it is. Just like Green Bay. I'm sure a lot of people think Green Bay is very attractive because they have Aaron Rodgers. Well, what else do they have around Aaron Rodgers? And is the front office, I think that's one uncovered story of this season, Amy, is that, you know, everyone criticizes Mike McCarthy for not being creative. Well, you know what? Guys who call plays and create game plans, they can be creative when they have creative players and players who can make plays. And when you look at Green Bay, let's remember they had a change in the general manager with Ted Thompson stepping away. Elliot Wolf, one of their top personnel guys, left because he didn't get the job. And so I go in there wondering, hey, is this truly a quality personnel staff that's going to give me the players around Aaron Rodgers to be successful? So that's a question I would have for Green Bay. I think in these interviews, if I'm the guy being interviewed, I might have more questions for the organization than the organization would have for me.
Howard Balzer of the Sports Exchange and Sirius XM NFL Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While we talk about coaches, I kind of feel like this may be one of Pete Carroll's best coaching jobs ever. When you look at the roller coaster ride that was the Seattle Seahawks, and they were twice below 500 before getting to that five spot in the NFC, what impresses you about the way that they recovered?
It was very impressive, and you know they obviously turned over the roster in a lot of ways. They turned over the coaching staff at a lot of key positions. But the one thing about it is that's a quality. You know, John Schneider, the general manager, they have a lot of good young players that came in and started playing well. Obviously, they got better as the season went on. But to me, the biggest factor is what they did with that team is they found a way to run the football game, to run the football again. And with all the talk about the last couple of years and saying, well, you know, there was problems left over from, you know, losing that Super Bowl. And there was this and there was that, all these different things. To me, the biggest problem with the Seahawks, and they were still a good football team, the biggest problem is they didn't have Marshawn Lynch anymore. And he was a linchpin for Marshawn Lynch of those championship caliber teams. And once he retired, they did not have a running game. Well, this year they had a running game again. And so they're able to throw the ball. Russell Wilson's able to compete. Obviously the young players on defense stepped up and they were a very improved team. So, I think the biggest plus about that team in the second half of the year was establishing that ground game. Because I'll tell you, Amy, I'm old school. I've been around for a while, and we can call it a passing league all we want, and I can't argue that that's not the case. But I still believe if you're going to be a playoff team, be a championship caliber team, you have to have a running game to balance your passing game. I think the Saints are a perfect example of that. What they do? So 7-9 for 3 years in a row with Drew Brees throwing for a million yards every year. Then what happened? They add Alvin Kamara in 2017 to go with Mark Ingram, and look what they've done the last two seasons with the one loss record. Because when you have that balance, when you have that running game, guess what? It also keeps your defense off the field, and that makes your defense better because they're fresher through four quarters.
And we've seen that with the Baltimore Ravens for sure. Ever since they went to Lamar Jackson, they're playing the ball control game. Howard Balzer with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. This situation with the Philadelphia Eagles is a puzzling one because Carson Wentz is a fantastic quarterback, but it certainly does look like they've been more cohesive, they've been more confident since Nick Foles got back on the field. Why? Why is that, Howard?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I do think that even before Foles took over, they started playing better anyway.
Yes.
And so they were on a little bit of an uptick, but there's no doubt that they have been a really good football team, obviously, with Nick Foles as the quarterback. Maybe it's just something in his personality, something about him. He makes plays. He's fearless out there with some of the throws he makes, and they just win football games with him. And so it's really going to be interesting to see if they can go on a run in this playoff season, and then what happens with Nick Foles, whether they go on a run or not, what happens with him in the off season? Because, I mean, is it going to be a good team that just needs a quarterback? I mean, Nick Foles, just like I was talking about coaches, you have to be careful in the team you select. Because, hey, you know, he didn't have a choice when he went to the Rams when he was traded, but it didn't work out there when he went to the Rams several years ago. So if you pick an organization that doesn't have the support around you and maybe doesn't have the right coaching, well, you might get some nice money, but it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. And so I'll tell you, I'm not predicting this is going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back in Philadelphia, because he just doesn't feel right with the fit of the teams that are making him offers. Now, maybe the right team will. I'm not saying they won't, but it's going to be very interesting to see what teams truly come after him when free agency rolls around in March.
What I like about Nick Foles, though, is that he's happy in Philadelphia and he embraces the role, and he didn't push the Eagles to send him somewhere else after he won a Super Bowl MVP. All right, Howard Bolzer of the Sports Exchange and Sirius XM NFL Radio. The opponent for the Eagles coming up Wild Card Weekend is the Chicago Bears. We know all about their defense, but what about their offense? How confident can we be in the Mitch Trubisky, Matt Nagy combination going into this coming weekend? We'll ask you that, but we got to have you hang on.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
So we know all about the Bears' defense. The question mark, well, isn't that the other side of the football as we head into this wild card weekend? We just talked about Nick Foles and the Eagles' offense, and we welcome back Howard Bolzer from the Sports Exchange as well as from Sirius XM NFL Radio. So here are these Eagles led by Nick Foles, and they'll have to tangle with that Bears' defense, Howard. Thank you so much for hanging on. But what about the other side of the ball? How confident are you in the Chicago offense?
Well, I think that's the big question. I think they've certainly shown growth through this season, and they can run the ball. And I think Trubisky has gotten better as the season has gone along. The playoffs are another world, though. And you're playing against a team that is playoff tested, and that can't be underestimated. And with that defense, the Bears defense are going to be going against a pretty good, pretty good offensive line that will be the key for the Eagles when they have the football. But I don't see a lot of points being scored in this game. And, you know, obviously turnovers can always affect that. But I think with that Bears offense, they're gonna have some issues going against that Jim Schwartz defense that the Eagles can put out there. The one thing about the Eagles is, as we've seen all year, they've had issues in the secondary because of a lot of injuries. And so, will Trubisky be able to throw the ball and make some plays, not just with his legs or not just with the running game, but make some plays, you know, passing the ball, that I think you're gonna have to do to win that game. And I think that's going to be the one question none of us know the answer to, but he's going to have to prove that he can make some plays, because I think there will be plays to be made against that secondary, but they can also get some pressure. So that'll be a real key for the Bears. We don't obviously know yet what the weather is going to be in Chicago on that afternoon this weekend, but you know that can play a part in the game too.
I just can't wait to see playoff football at Soldier Field again. It's been far too long. I was paging through your Twitter over the weekend and happened to see this particular tweet from you. Now, you didn't use a question mark, so I don't actually know if it's a question, but I'm going to read it back to you. Should Andrew Luck at least be in the conversation as MVP? But then there's a period there. So is that a statement, Howard, or are you posing the question because you think that he should?
It was a typo. After I sent it, I looked at it, I said, oh, I can't believe I forgot to put the question mark there. And so, you know, In all full disclosure, I'm a voter. I'm not supposed to reveal my vote, so
okay.
I won't do that. We had to have those in early in the day on Wednesday. But I will acknowledge I did not vote for Andrew Luck. But I was just talking more with all the pundits out there talking about this player and that player, and it's between these guys. I just felt that he should at least be talked about as someone who is most valuable. And everyone has a different opinion of what most valuable means. And so a lot of the responses for that were Mahomes, 50 touchdowns, Mahomes this, Mahomes that. And he's obviously the offensive player of the year, and very likely he'll be the MVP. But when you say MVP, it brings up a whole other line of questioning. And the bottom line is that the Colts were 4-12 last year without Andrew Luck, and we've seen how valuable he is to that team. So is he the most valuable in the league? Maybe not. But I just thought at least he should be talked about when everybody goes over all the different possibilities.
Just throwing it out there for fodder. I gotcha. All right, coming up on Thursday night after the Pro Football Hall of Fame announces its 15 finalists, you'll be part of a show on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Can you give us a couple you think are slam dunks?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, I always hesitate to say slam dunk, but for the finals, you know, most of the finalists will be those that were finalists last year, guys who didn't get in, a lot of offensive linemen like Steve Hutchinson and Kevin Mawai and Alan Faneca, the wide receiver Isaac Bruce. I know I'm going to forget, you know, some of them, but a lot of those guys will be the finalists. Again, John Lynch from the Buccaneers, who's been a finalist a number of times.
Right.
The first-time eligible is one thing I'm curious about. I'm fairly certain Tony Gonzalez and Ed Reed will be finalists. I'm going to be curious if Champ Bailey is. He's a first-time eligible. You know, Ty Law has been in the K for a few years as a finalist. He hasn't got in yet. So I think, you know, some of those players will definitely be one of those 15 finalists. And, you know, looking forward to the show on Sirius. Normally we tape our show, a Pro Football Hall of Fame show, every week. But this time we're coming out right after the announcement on NFL Network and a live show. So really looking forward to that on Thursday evening.
And you can follow Howard on Twitter at HBalzer, B-A-L-Z-E-R 721. He's also on Sports Exchange covering the NFL as we get now into the second season. Howard, it's so good to talk to you. Happy New Year. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Always my pleasure, Amy. Take care and happy New Year to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.